My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this morning I should like to direct your attention to the last two verses of the scripture lesson which was read just a few minutes ago. The letter of St. John, the first epistle, the second chapter, the last six verses 16 and 17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. My dear friends in Christ Jesus, free at last. So our black brethren have been calling out for over a century now. The Civil War abolished slavery, but the former slaves did not enjoy real freedom because of the discrimination, both legal and illegal, that they suffered. Equally demeaning was the patronizing way in which they were so often treated. Nor was the church itself blameless. Read the story which Dr. Dickinson has chronicled in his book, Roses and Thorns. It has only been in the last 20 years, as a result of the civil rights movement, that our black brothers and sisters have moved toward the freedom which is as much their birthright as it is ours. People long to be free. It is simply not true that people are satisfied to have others make decisions for them so long as they are provided with everything that they need. The black slaves had cradle to grave security. And for many of them, freedom it was itself a traumatic adjustment. Still, they not only longed to be free, but they insisted on being free. Now, we Christians, too, long to be free from sin. That's what our text talks about as it speaks to us of the quest for holiness that we all have. People can be sinners and slaves without knowing it. The drug addict and the alcoholic are slaves, but somehow or other they often persuade themselves that they are free and that their lifestyle is the result of their own choice. Indeed, there is nothing more tragic than a man who doesn't recognize his slavery, who insists he is free when he is actually bound by chains and shackles. Now, as a result of the fall, all men find themselves in that situation. So far as sin is concerned, Satan is very successful in persuading men that slavery is really freedom. He holds out to them the picture of God as the bondsman and the slaveholder, and persuades them that real freedom is to be found in his kingdom. Tragically enough, many people permit themselves to be deluded and permit themselves to be persuaded that slavery is really freedom. They continue to live in bondage under the illusion that those bonds are not real and that they do not exist. The text which we have before us, these words of St. John, tell us something about the slavery that sin imposes on men. In it, St. John enumerates not seven deadly sins, but he calls our attention to three particular sins which happen to be sins of the different ages of man. He speaks first of all of the lust of the flesh, and then of the lust of the eyes and of the pride of life. And thereby he calls our attention to the besetting sins of the different ages of men as they walk across the stage of their lives. In early youth, the besetting sin is the lust of the flesh, the temptation and the desire to find freedom outside of God's sixth commandment. And who of us has not been tempted? Then let him who is without sin cast the first stone. But somehow or other, we have forgotten that there are other periods of life than youth. And we have failed to recognize that Satan changes the temptations that he presents to us. There are besetting sins, not only in youth, but also in middle age and in old age. And St. John wants to call our attention also to these besetting sins. He speaks of the pride of life, the ambition that characterizes the middle years. And then he speaks of the lust of the eyes, the glow in the miser's eyes as he counts his gold, the desire for material possessions that characterizes particularly the more mature years. Against all of these, he wants us to be warned. Satan is remarkably successful in concealing the traps that he sets for us. He glosses over them, persuades us that they don't exist. Somehow or other, we often persuade ourselves that these besetting sins characterize youth. We roundly denounce the lusts of the flesh that characterize young people. But we fail to realize that the pride of life and the lust of the eye are equally dangerous and equally damning. Now, it's strange that we should consider the lust of the flesh as something that is clearly contrary to God's word, and then go on to ignore these other besetting sins. Satan is very clever. He not only persuades us that these are not to be considered sins, but he even persuades us to compliment people who practice them. We talk about people who are ambitious and people who are provident, whereas actually they are characterized by the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. Now, the real thrust of this text, these words of St. John, is not on these besetting sins, but on our freedom from them. St. John is telling us that we shall be free, free indeed. The world will pass away, and with it, all of these sins that plague us so. And who among us who professes the faith cannot help but rejoice in this promise? Who enjoys this daily wrestling with conscience, with the knowledge that we have transgressed God's law? Who does not regret his frequent falling into Satan's trap, even though he pledges daily to go and sin no more? Particularly those of us who are ministers of his word need to be warned against these traps that Satan sets for us. As Dr. Schultz said not too many days ago, pastors are the particular junk food of Christians. We must recognize that we are Satan's particular target. For if he can overcome us, he has achieved a major victory. And it's not only the lust of the flesh which he tempts us with, but there are lusts, other lusts as well, and these are equally dangerous. Yet we will be free. That's the promise of our text. Free, first of all, from the guilt of our sin. And we have that freedom already. But we shall also be free from the inclination to sin. We will be perfect, even as the angels have been perfected. It is to that day when we will be free also from the dominion of sin that you and I look forward. We will never reach that goal in our quest for holiness here on earth. We find that even though we are no longer tempted so much by the sins of our youth, we are tempted by the other sins and the other traps that Satan lays for us. But one day we will be free, free indeed. This is the promise of our text. This also is the good news, the promise of the gospel. Amen.